The views, opinions, and discussions expressed on this show are those of the host or guest, and not necessarily those of NMJC, its employees, or board of directors. You're listening to Untucked with Steve Sauceda, a show dedicated to bringing you a message of hope, encouragement, overcoming adversity, and welcoming special guests with incredible stories to share. Here's your host, Steve Sauceda.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Untucked. My name is Steve Sauceda. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, and whenever you are listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day. This is episode 74. We are a service of New Mexico Junior College, broadcasting on T-Bird Radio, KNMJ, 100.9 FM in southeastern New Mexico and West Texas. This show airs Wednesdays at noon, Fridays at 5 p.m., and Mondays at 7 a.m. If you miss an episode or any part of it, all of our shows are archived and available on demand, which means you can listen at any time. If you like to listen on Spotify, we are on Spotify. If you're a podcast listener, we are on podcast. If you are more old school and like iTunes, we're available on iTunes, or you can listen from any browser at our website, stevesauceda.com. That is stevesauceda.com on Spotify, podcast, and iTunes. Just do a search for Untucked with Steve, like an untucked shirt. We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Untucked with Steve Sauceda. We're on Twitter at Untucked WSS. And we're over on Instagram at Untucked with Steve. So, like I said, this is episode 74. We're getting close to May being over. The next time I'm in the studio with you for 75, it will already be June. So, lots of good stuff going on all over the world, all over the country. Just good things happening, you know, personally, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, but just wanted to say thank you for continuing to tune in. Thank you for the comments on last 73 when we called it the Marvel Miracle. Definitely the hope of the show is that you are motivated, encouraged, inspired, uplifted, gives you a little bit of hope. Listen, there's so much content out there. I did a little bit of research. There's 7.7 billion people on the planet right now, approximately. There's over 660,000 podcasts available to listen online. Over 4.2 billion episodes of podcasts have been put out there, been broadcast. And it is such an honor to get to be one of those 660,000 voices in the world today. It means a great deal to me that you continue to tune in. And I also am understanding and coming to understand, yeah, I'm slow, but I'm worth waiting on, that there's going to be many who listen to this radio show, who listen to this podcast, no matter the platform, who will never reach out, who will never say anything to me personally. And that's okay, but it's also okay if you do. And just understanding the reason why, understanding the why we do this, why I do this. Obviously, there's 660,000 podcasts that you have your litter of the pick to choose from. And the fact that you choose this one as a part of your repertoire of things that you listen to, or maybe this is your only one, I am so honored by that, that you would choose this show for whatever reason or reasons that you tune in. Thank you. And even if you never say a word to me digitally or in person, thank you. You could be scrolling, or maybe someone sent this to you, or they tagged you in it, or they shared it with you, or maybe you're listening on conventional radio here in the southwest part of the United States, and perhaps this is the only station that you get while you're out working, and you just happen to listen to this show at the right time. Hey, listen, friend, thank you. If you hear something that motivates you, that inspires you, that gives you hope, and we never hear about it, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen. I enjoy the voice that we have on this show, the opportunity and privilege that we have to be able to speak into lives. I don't take it lightly. It is such a privilege to have this platform. So I just want to say thank you to all of the listeners for supporting Untucked. Whether you've been with me since day one or you're new to the party, I'm so glad that you're here. Let's take a quick break, and then let's get right into the meat of the show. Thanks for riding with me. You're listening to Untucked with Steve Salcida.
Career Coach is a new tool at New Mexico Junior College that helps evaluate the best profession for you and the classes needed at NMJC to get that dream job. Discover average salaries in your chosen job, get up-to-date employment opportunities, create the best resume, and more. Take the free assessment today for your pathway to success. Career Coach at nmjc.edu.
And welcome back to Untucked. My name is Steve Salcida. Thanks for riding with me today. No matter how you're listening, conventional radio, podcast, Spotify, iTunes, or online, as I always state, and I hope you never get tired of me saying this, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I hope that this show, that this episode, that this message catches you at the perfect time, right when you need it the most. So for today's show, last night, I was kind of struggling, as I usually do, before I come into a show going, what do I need to do? So I take some time to be quiet and to listen, where I'm not saying that I don't ask the opinions of others, because I do. I read a lot. I listen a lot. And if you kind of haven't figured it out already, let me just pull back the veil and give you a little BTS behind the scenes. The columns that I write, the shows that we produce, and what gets on air is usually me talking to me. The columns that I write are usually me writing to myself and inviting you to read over my shoulder. The shows that we produce, the content that is created here, is typically, almost always now, things that I have gone through, things that I am going through, and sharing with us. If you listen to the narrative of this show at any point, I do my absolute best not to say a lot of you, but more of we, because we truly are all in this together. I just heard a High School Musical song in my head as I said that. This show is laced with my personality and my kind of perspective and voice and angle on things. But I produce these shows in the hopes that you can relate. A friend of mine, Chris Haggard, you've heard him on this show. He's been on here 3 times. He was our first guest. He and I were visiting the other day, and we were talking and being reminded of a conversation that he and I once had a while back, that two of the most powerful words you can say to another human being is "me too," instead of "what's wrong with you." Because I think there's something innate in our nature that wants that thinks that we're alone or facing struggles alone, but in reality, we're not. And when someone can sit down and say, "Hey, friend, me too," I hope that Untucked can be that "me too" moment for you, in understanding that listen, when there is a privilege of platforms, when there is privilege of communication, and I've said this on this show before, there is this misguided notion that we have it all figured out because we're talking about it. And nothing could be further from the truth. My friend Heather Bean, you've heard her on the show, she's been on here 4 times, was talking about a devotional that she had written that will be coming out at the Create Women's Conference soon, which if you haven't gotten your ticket, make sure you do that, createwomen.org, June 7th and 8th in Hobbs, New Mexico at the Lee County Event Center. But she was talking about a new devotional that is supposed to be ready by then. And she said, "I don't want you to think that just because I've written this means that I have perfected this or that I live this perfectly, because that's just not the case. That's not the case for her. That's not the case for me. If you read a column that I write and it speaks to you, that doesn't mean I have it all figured out. I'm just sharing my experience with it or things that I have overcome or I'm currently dealing with. And the same goes for this show. This same goes for Untucked as far as the show goes. I am sharing with you experience. I am sharing with you struggle. I am experiencing with you breakthrough and victory of where I've come from. There is no such thing as cookie cutter in life. Well, but just because it worked for Steve, that don't mean it worked for me. I'm talking about principles. I'm talking about truths here that I apply in hopes that it will inspire you, motivate you, and encourage you. I don't know if there's anyone else in this area doing a show like this, and it's not for me to know or to compare, because this is the lane that we are in. This is the lane that we are going to run in. And as I hope, as you continue to listen, we grow together, we challenge each other. And yeah, So we're going to go with that. So I'll be honest with you. I always feel like untuck doesn't work if I'm not honest with you. I can fall into the pressure to perform like nobody's business. And that doesn't mean that I'm not being real or not being authentic. But, you know, when you are doing a show two times a month, when you're writing a column two times a month, when you're out there speaking from February 1st through May 14th, I've had 21 speaking engagements. And I don't say that to impress you, but just to say it as a matter of fact, there is an expectation to produce something. There is an expectation to write something. There is an expectation to deliver something. And oftentimes, if I'm not careful, if we're not careful, the pressure can start being very daunting to the point where you start going, why am I even doing this? And that leads me into our show for today. Why are we doing things? Why do we do what we do? Are we social media driven? Are we living for likes while pushing other people away? And we're going to get to social media as I intermingle this in here, but I've used this gentleman on my show several times. I listen to his stuff all the time. His name is Stephen Furtick, a communicator out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And this past week, he was speaking on the topic of the pressure to perform. And there is a 2-minute clip that I have queued up for us to listen. And at the end of the clip, let's break it down. But here we go. Here's a 2-minute clip from the pressure to perform.
Anytime you have unbelief in your heart, it will cause you to try to perform to prove something that you don't really believe. In psychological terms, it's called the fraudulence complex, or some call it the imposter syndrome. And it speaks about how many of us have an inability to internalize our strengths and our accomplishments. Psychologists call it the imposter syndrome, because they say that many of us secretly, deep down, feel like we're a fraud. Many of us secretly, deep down, feel like we have so much less to offer than what people expect. And that even when people compliment us, we figure that the reason that they're complimenting us is because they don't really see us for who we are. And if they ever saw us for who we are, if they ever saw how stupid we feel, if they ever saw how inexperienced we feel, if they really saw how nervous we really feel, they would kick us out the room. It happens to fathers, it happens to mothers, it happens to leaders, it happens to teenagers. It is the fear of being found out to be less than they thought you were. It is the fear that keeps you in a performance mode. It is the fear that keeps you spending money to look like something important, because deep down you're afraid that you're really not. It is the fear that keeps you overcompensating, and you get in situations, and rather than letting other people be the center of attention, you feel the need to overcompensate to show how intelligent you are, because deep down you don't feel intelligent enough. So people think you're cocky, but you're really not cocky. You're scared with the conflict between who they think you're supposed to be and who you feel like you really are. It's called the imposter syndrome.
Powerful, isn't it? The imposter syndrome. And as you were listening to that, I know how I felt in my heart, feeling, you know, almost convicted, but not condemned. The difference, conviction is how's the best way to put it? Conviction is when it prompts us to do better. Condemnation, it makes us feel bad about ourselves. So anytime you listen to something like that, or you listen to this show, I always hope that you hear the grace, the mercy, and the love behind it, that if you feel conviction, it's grounds to act on it. But condemnation will cause you to look inward and start feeling shame and guilt, and that's definitely not the point here. But in terms of the pressure to perform, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you are the recipient, not the recipient, but a diagnosed patient of imposter syndrome, which is why when someone gives us a compliment, you feel like a fraud. We feel like a fraud because you go, you don't know what I've been thinking. You don't know what I've been struggling with. I'm here at my kid's baseball game, but what you don't understand is I just had it out with my boss. My spouse was yelling at me because I couldn't get here on time, but my manager was calling me and I need my J-O-B, but if I don't have my J-O-B, I can't pay my mortgage and I'm late to dinner and my wife or my husband is mad at me because the dinner's cold, but my boss needed me back at work and I need my job, and if I don't do that, then there ain't gonna be nothing for us to complain about. And then when someone tells you, hey, you're doing a great job, and you're kind of like, if you only knew. You feel like an imposter. You feel like an absolute imposter. And you just kind of go, great. You really don't know. And then we fall into this thing to perform where maybe at the end of a long day, you finally get on Instagram, you get on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever your social media platform flavor is, and you look at these IG stories, for those of you who don't know, Instagram stories, and you kind of go, man, that's sure is nice for them. And you start comparing your life. You start comparing your livelihood. Because you see, one of the topics that I travel and get invited to speak on quite a bit is called generations in the workplace, or some variation of that. And all the different ways that generations communicate with one another, from the youngest to the oldest, from the energy to the experience, and how we all value and appreciate different things and how we want to be communicated to. Where older generations tend to shun social media. Not all, there's always exceptions, but these are typically the norms, where they prefer face-to-face communication, or at minimum, call me on the phone, I want to hear your voice, or truthfully, they want to see your face. But now we are in a day and time and a dispensation where we are advocating more and more for apps that deliver things to us. Here in my hometown, where this show is produced, we have approximately 45 to 50,000 people, where I wouldn't say that we're the most technologically advanced, but neither are we in the Stone Ages, but we're somewhere in between, where you have big box retail stores or grocery chains where you no longer have to go inside any longer to shop, but you shop on your app and you go park in the designated stalls and they bring the product to you. I have seen so many posts saying, I will never step inside of a store again. And now the question becomes, why do we feel this way? Why do we not want to step inside of stores any longer? We say it's in the name of convenience. Well, I don't have to go in and shop, but I would submit that we want to people in person less. In other words, we have so ingrained ourselves in this imposter syndrome that we don't want to have those, quote, fake conversations anymore. I don't want to small talk with you. I do not want to engage with you. I want to make sure I've got my chicken, I've got my chips, I've got my drinks, I've got my ice cream, I've got whatever I want. I want it delivered to me, and I want to go home and retreat into solitude. Steve, is there anything wrong with going home? No, absolutely not. But there could be a problem with isolationism, because this is where the your mind starts to get away from you with thoughts. Is it always fun to run into people at the grocery store? No. But my question is, and my fear is, are we developing so much technology that we no longer want to people in person, but we would rather people behind a screen at our convenience when we want to? Think about it. We don't want to people much anymore. You say, I people all day, 8 hours, 9 hours a day. I people for a living, but I don't want to people when I don't have to. Could you do that? Sure you could. But I'm just challenging us to think about this. Is it that you don't want to people because you feel like an imposter? Do you feel like you're constantly living to perform rather than living to live? And the question is, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the gram? Are you doing it for people? Now listen, I'm going to be real honest with you folks. Real honest with you, friends, there have been so many times that I have posted something and I'm taking a look at it and watching the traction of it. And what I mean is, you know as well as I do, that if that post doesn't start getting likes early, it's probably not going to get a whole bunch, right? And I will be honest here. I have fallen prey to this. I don't like this about myself and I'm trying to work on it. I have recognized it, and but it doesn't mean that I've kicked it yet. There have been times that I will take a post down because it's not getting the traction that I think that it should. Just being honest with you there. I don't like that, because then that's living for likes rather than just sharing it because I think it's funny or I want it to be an inspiration to someone, okay? There are times that I feel that all of us can overshare what we're eating, what we're drinking, what we're thinking. The beautiful thing about social media is you can post whatever you want. The bad thing about social media is you can post whatever you want. And this has created keyboard warriors. If you don't know what that means, that is someone with a cowardly heart with brave fingertips hiding behind a screen. Let me say that again. That is someone with a cowardly heart but brave fingertips hiding behind a screen. What that means is you are willing to trash a restaurant on one of your Facebook groups, but you would never go into the manager or the waitress with kindness and say, you know what, this wasn't the best service or this meal was cold, but yet you'll write 14 paragraphs about that restaurant. You'll write a novel about the store, but you'll actually never go in and say something to someone. You'll say something about a school or a city municipality saying, and you're trashing the law enforcement, but you would never say that to a law enforcement official. That is a keyboard warrior. It has made you brave when you're really cowardly. But see, the thing is, when we start doing this, when we start living to perform, we start creating $30,000 millionaires. What does that mean? You make $30,000 a year. Nothing wrong with that. But you're trying to live a millionaire lifestyle to prove something to a stranger who doesn't even think about you. You want to wear the certain type of belt or the certain type of shoes or carry a certain type of bag or make sure that your cup has a green straw in it to create this illusion that you have something that you don't. And if that's something you aspire to, hey, okay, but what I'm getting at is that we can develop this imposter syndrome, all of us together, to try to get people to think that we are something that we are not, and it becomes exhausting, and then you can't figure out why you're always mad, and there might be more to it, but perhaps the reason you are so mad is trying to keep up a facade and a persona that you have built that is not really you. Okay, I read something this morning, and this gentleman wrote it to young leaders, but I believe it applies to us. His name is Louis Giglio. What's durable trumps what's visible. So often we are tempted to go for what looks good over what is good. Conditioned by an instant culture, the approval of others, and a climate of comparison, we can lose ourselves in the quest to be seen, when the goal is to be steady. Don't get in too big a rush to tell the world what you know. Work diligently towards the mission you are called to, embracing the reality that what you do in secret will be rewarded in the open. Go from acceptance, not for acceptance. Go from approval, not for it. You'll never lose by digging deep, staying true, not giving up, building character in the crucible of challenge, breathing in, hanging on, and becoming more weighty below the surface than you are impressive above it. Stop waiting for the world to applaud your branches and keep building to fortify your roots. Time proves character, reveals motives, and confirms calling. Faithfulness always wins in the end. I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. Mike Foster, another communicator that I follow, says, leaders and helpers often fall into patterns of codependency, people-pleasing, and overgiving. Effective heart healers must always do an honest gut check and make sure they're not falling into what I refer to as heroic sacrifice. This is where we neglect ourselves. We give out of a malnourished soul. We repeat unhealthy patterns thinking that it is good and helpful. Unfortunately, these patterns only lead to burnout and toxic cynicism. Usually these, quote, giving patterns are established early on in our story, where we love out of a wound versus loving out of wholeness. We repeat what we do not repair. The other day I was driving, and matter of fact, it was a couple nights ago, and I was thinking about the show, and I started thinking about discovery versus execution. And what I mean by that is that there are times is we can confuse realization with execution. Just because we realize something is an issue or in need of a change does not mean it will. It can, but there is so much more to be done. We tend to confuse functional with healthy. We tend to confuse functional with healthy. Again, this is me. Don't confuse realization with execution. Just because we realize something is an issue or in need of a change does not mean it will. It can, but there is so much more to be done. You could realize that you are living for likes. You'd be like, man, yeah, I do that. And if that's all it becomes, all you've gotten to is realization, but there has been no execution. So if you realize that you're living for likes, this does not mean that you have to go delete your social media or be one of those people be like, oh my God, I hate Facebook and Instagram. It's so evil. I'm leaving. And then 3 hours later, you're like, just kidding. I was hangry. I needed a Snickers. And then you're back. Okay. What this means is if you have a realization of something in your life that you need to improve upon, I applaud that. Realization is the first step. But what you gonna do after that? Okay? Oftentimes, I believe we try to over-spiritualize things in terms of people, of saying like, oh, there's a reason that them people ain't part of my life anymore. And maybe that there is, but could it also be a reason that maybe we're the problem and sometimes we're the one with toxic traits? You see, sometimes we always want to point the finger at somebody else. It's them. It's them. It's them. It's them. Is it? I remember one time, there's this one person who kept talking about these girls don't like her. She said, man, in junior high and high school, I was a part of choir, and I always had problems with these girls. When I was a cheerleader, I never got along with anybody. When I got into college, I don't know what they call it now, chorus, chorale, or whatever the case is, talking about, hey, none of these girls like me. Or when I tried to join the cheer squad, none of them liked me. And I remember, you could think whatever you want. One time I said, sweetie, do you not see the common denominator? She's like, yeah, they don't like me. She didn't get it. She was the common denominator. It was always them, 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 them. And maybe you know that person. Maybe you are that person. It's them, 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 them. You sound like a machine gun of blame. Them, 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 them. Without looking in the mirror and going, you know what? Maybe part of it is them, but maybe part of it is me too. It's an imposter syndrome there of saying, I ain't really all that I'm cracked up to be. But listen, folks, the good thing about this is there's so much freedom that can still come that when you recognize the imposter syndrome, it's kind of going, what do you want to do about it now? What do you want to do? So listen, how does your evaluation of yourself compare with who you've led others to believe that you are? How does it compare with who you would like to be? In other words, are you pretending? Are you putting up a false front to cover up the deficiencies and weaknesses you see inside yourself? Often we think we know who we're supposed to be. We have an image in our heads of the perfect version of ourselves, and we dedicate a lot of time, effort, and money to manifesting or manufacturing that image. What would happen, friends, if we worked half as hard at discovering who we really are as we do at trying to be someone else? How many of us live with buried talents and lost opportunities because we want so badly to be someone we are not that we never uncover who we are? There was a line from Marvel's Avengers Endgame. I'm not going to spoil it for you if you still haven't seen it, but one of the characters said to another, we always fail at who we're supposed to be. But the true measure of a hero or a person is how well they succeed in being who they are. See, your weaknesses are as unique as your strengths, and as such, they deserve some respect. And when we insist on building the illusion that we have it all under control, we barricade ourselves from the help that we need. Have you ever thought about how much of our lives revolves around appearance, image, reputation, and recognition? we launch daily personal PR campaigns to prove, if only to ourselves, that we are competent and valuable. And then we learn to fake it till we make it, or until the faking breaks us, whichever comes first. So we start to pretend. We build facades. We concoct identities. We try to bury the real us in order to be more pleasing to those whose opinions we value. But let me give you some encouragement. We are as priceless as we are complex. We are as valuable as we are unique. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of the most impatient people, I swear. Look, I'd love to blame it on society. I'd love to blame it on Amazon. But Amazon has certainly helped, haven't they, with this Prime mentality that if we can't have it in 2 days, we just keep scrolling. Or you just start getting road rage when someone in front of you doesn't go the second that the light turns green. But I'm telling you, I get annoyed too. But I'm telling you, you honk at me, I'll put my car in park, I'll sit on the hood, and I'll feed the birds for an hour. Don't you do it. You put something in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it feels like 2 hours. And you're sitting there thinking, why don't you hurry up? Or you ever been in a drive-thru? You got this ridiculously customized bougie order. And then just the fact that they don't have it ready in 3 minutes, you're like, ugh, the audacity of these people. Maybe the Wi-Fi slower is down. You're at Starbucks. How in the world are we supposed to check our Instagram? The world just needs to end, right? Or maybe you're at a restaurant. We've been at a restaurant. You place the order, and you see these people come in 20, 30 minutes after you, and then they get their food before you, and you snap, and you let out that passive-aggressive huff of, and you give them that dirty side eye, that stank eye, acting like it's their fault that they got their food before you. I believe that there's a principle in the earth today, friends, of seed, of time, and of harvest. We all love the harvest. We love the results. We love the end, the payoff. But most of us, myself included, really struggle with the time aspect of this. We're in an environment that is not only used to results immediately, but we demand it. And even no matter how unrealistic that demand is, we have a tendency to get really mad and in some cases just quit. But friends, I cannot stress enough how key timing is to breakthrough and success in our life. See, if we let the process do in us what it's supposed to do, then when the harvest comes, it won't crush us. You see, oftentimes struggles in our life are the byproduct of us forcing ourselves into seasons of life that we're not ready for. But we don't like the process and we don't like to be developed. We want to be full steam ahead all the time. And at times, we get ourselves into places that we don't have the strength to handle yet because we skip the process. I wish I could drop my body off at the gym and pick it back up when it's ready, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. I would be skipping out on the process, and when I do that, I try to lift weight that I don't have the strength for or run a distance that I have not conditioned myself for, and this is a guaranteed way to severely hurt myself and damage myself, and I believe that you can see that the parallel is there. There are times that you want to be in a relationship that you are not ready for. You are an imposter. You're not ready for it. You are not ready for that house, but you want people to think that you're wealthier than you are. You're not ready for that car, but dadgummit, I've got to show everyone that I've got it. You cannot afford those shoes. You can't afford those red bottoms. You can't afford that double G belt, but you need to let people know that I got it when really that you don't and you're drowning. But you see, friend, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Do not settle for less just because it's available. The compromises we make become the life that we settle for. If you forfeit the process, you forfeit the promise. And I encourage us not to let the most urgent thing distract us from the most important thing. You see, the truth that we store up in the silence comes back to us in the storm. Those seemingly small or unimportant things we conquer in the quiet times of life in the process might just become the exact thing we'll need later in life to handle the harvest that is coming. It is okay to be you. I would challenge you. I would challenge us to start deciding and figuring out who you want to become, not who someone else thinks you're supposed to be. It is exhausting to live that way. You were not designed, created, or built to live that way. We were designed to live free, Okay? This doesn't mean that you don't still have to go to work and fulfill expectations at your job. That's not at all what I'm saying. But are you free, or are you doing things and creating scenarios to get likes and thinking that is love? Friend, Facebook calls them friends. Instagram calls them followers. I just call them curious. Okay? It's like this desire to be a public figure. And listen, I know I'm talking to the choir here, and I've got a mirror here. Listen, I understand the responsibilities that come with these platforms and these forms of communication. I do. But I will lose myself every time if I believe the hype. You will lose yourself every single time if you believe the hype. You will lose yourself. We will lose ourselves if we look at that post and go, well, it didn't get any likes. As I was listening to the rest of this message by Stephen Furtick, he talked about how in his own company, his own ministry, where they do these things, they use all these platforms and they're looking at engagement. They're looking at who's liking. They're looking at who's watching. But he made a statement that resonates with me. This is why I opened the show that way, because it made such an impact on me. There may be people who listen to this show who never like it on social media. There may be people who read the column who never share it. There may be people who come to hear me speak who never come and say a word to me. And I just use myself, and I hope that you can insert yourself in there, that there are things that you may do. There may be things that you write. There may be things that you say that no one gives you any accolade for. And it's hard to keep going when no one is clapping for you. But you got to learn how to clap for yourself and understand that your Creator has already clapped for you and approves you and accepts you. And when we begin to understand that, we free ourselves from the pressure to perform. We free ourselves from the pressure to perform. And I know I want to get better about that. I know that I want to get better about that, and to understand that, why do I do what I do? And I would say that for you too, that who are you doing it for? Who are you doing it for? So you see, when you really get good at something, people tend to take you for granted. When you're consistent, you stop getting compliments. So if people have stopped complimenting you, that is the highest compliment. It means you are so consistent that you have a basis for a foundation, and you can then be set free from the need to be impressive. Friend, if you got something you want to share, share it. And learn over time how to go, even if it doesn't get likes, I know that I wanted to put this out there. And again, always use wisdom. Always use wisdom in who you share things with. And I had shared this on my own personal Instagram, SteveSalcedo3. Feel free to follow. It was a screenshot. A guy said, I'm here for you. And the response was, thanks. I'm going through a tough time, so it means a lot. And sorry, I lost all my contacts. Who is this? And the response is, this is your Uber driver. I'm here to pick you up. And I'm not going to lie, that cracked me up. But then it made me think. Vulnerability is being real with a real life person. It's saying to a trusted friend who has earned the right to hear your honesty, not just anyone and not everyone, that you're not doing okay. Friend, use wisdom. Many are curious, but only a few actually care. I hope you've been encouraged today to understand that we have all been victim to the imposter syndrome, to try to be something that we're not. And friend, you know as well as I do that it can be exhausting. And I hope today that is the beginning of a realization that leads to your execution of the thing that says, man, I've been doing this for the wrong reasons. I've been motivated by the wrong things. I've been trying to prove people wrong in my past that no longer care about me. And friend, if you do that, that means they've got too much space in your mind and are still dictating your decisions. And I hope that you can realize that you can be free and start the steps to execute that freedom. And with that, brings us to the conclusion of episode 74. And as we do, we end with a quote. So here you go. Becoming obsessed with what other people think about you is the fastest way to forget what your Creator thinks about you. Thanks for riding with me, everyone. We'll talk to you in episode 75.